It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Day on a beautiful spring day. Beautiful outside. After that cold front, my goodness. We're going to start things off with Dylan Erickson talking girls basketball. A couple games this week.
Yeah, back in action here, full swing of things. We had a couple home opener here and then a couple home games, so it was nice to be at home in front of our own crowd and fans, and they can get a taste and see what we look like for 24-25 season here. And, yeah, off to a pretty decent start. You know, we played a couple really tough teams that first couple weeks there with we talked about last week with Pipestone and Wasca, who are really tough teams in AA schools. So right. Got a good taste right away, and then kind of jump into right after Thanksgiving here. So Ortonville came to town, came out to the Valley here on Tuesday night, and looking for our first win of the year, and a team we thought we could definitely compete with and play with, and we did just that. And you know, over the last few weeks too, we've been just growing as a team so much, practice wise, and we have a ton of numbers this year, much higher than where we've been, and that just makes practice so much more competitive, and that's just boosting us quite a bit, just on a day-to-day aspect too as well. So yeah, Ortonville came to town again. Kind of a new team for them. They graduated a handful of seniors, and they're trying to figure out their way a little bit too. So, yeah, we jumped out early on them. A lot of defensive pressure by us, and jumped out to a 31-9 halftime lead. Again, doing a lot of nice things. Some shots we wish we would have hit maybe, you know, from the outside. They sat in the zone, and we had a lot of good looks. Just we got to execute out there and kind of get our legs underneath us yet. I'm still working on that. So, again, just a really nice first half, pretty clean first half of basketball, and then again getting some kids in there in the second half, and it was just a really slow pace kind of second half where we outscored them 14-11, so came away with our first win of the year, 56-20. Again, the team that they're just rebuilding a little bit and trying to find their way, I think, a little bit, and we're kind of got the experience back from last year, and we're trying to grow on what we did last year, especially the back half of the year, and I think we did a nice job of that too. And you'll hear that in the next game, too, when I talk about that. But Kayla Jan had a really nice night for us, 3-6 from the three-point line and 4-5 from two, so really efficient there, and with led us with 20 points there. Jalen Lee followed up with 10 points and 9 rebounds and 5 steals and an assist. So a nice overall game there, complete game. Brandy Meyer had 6 points as well. Callie Kahn, 3 points. Brandy had 5 points. Callie Kahn had 4 points. Maya Swatsky had a bucket for us. Kendall Shelstead had 9 points. Jada Kessler had 3, and Brooklyn Olsen also had 3 points for us. So just an overall nice, pretty balanced game, whether it was scoring, rebounding, whatever we're doing, affecting the game in a bunch of different ways. So it was good to see, and again, we were shooting the ball at a pretty high rate from the free throw line against Pipestone. We were 15-16, and against Ortonville, we were 16-24. So they're numbers we can live with if we're going to get to the free throw line. Against Minnewaska, we got there 25 times as well. So if we can get to the free throw line at a nightly base 20-plus times and make them at a high rate, I think we'll be in a good spot there. Good. Just, you know, eases the pain sometimes and can slow things down for us and get some easy buckets at the free throw line and reward ourselves for getting there. That's going to be huge for us on the year. And then just 16 turnovers too is a huge number for us, where we like to live in that 25 plus range, and just talk about all the time and how many possessions we lose and how many opportunities we just don't get and we give the other team, and if they score on even half of them, you know how big of a discrepancy that is. So again, nice always to get your first win, conference win, get on the board that way, get a little confidence, and that always helps too. So right. Another nice one for us. And then the JV also, again, they didn't execute from the free throw line quite as well as we did. At one point, they were 0-14, and we missed them a lot of open shots, which is going to come with those young ones getting more reps and more game time. But they came away with a 29-16 win there as well. So, again, they're taking steps forward every night that they get the court time. And down the JV, our eighth grader, Brindley Brewston, led us in scoring down there with 8 points. So, again, just a nice crew down there, and they keep meshing and blending and getting more and more experience, and it's going to be huge because they should get, as we go between the B squad and CC squad too, so they're playing, you know, two halves and one half, or one half and two halves, kind of splitting up those eighth graders and freshmen and sophomores and whatnot, and get them as much court time as we can, and C squad should get about that 15 to 16 games too, so just right. Added that on top, so a lot of kids are playing three halves a night. That's a lot of basketball and a lot of experience gained out of them, so it's been really nice to have.
Good.
And then we moved on to Tuesday back at home Thursday night. Yep, brought in CMCS out of Princeburg there, and again a team that brings back pretty much everybody, and they're still sophomores and juniors. They have the Dunnett girl, and she seems like she's fourth year redshirt senior or something, because been playing since she was a seventh grader. She's only a sophomore. So,
oh gosh!
Yeah, they have a bunch of juniors and some sophomores in there that they play, and so they had all the time together last year, and were a force to be reckoned with in the section two and conference. And when you bring everybody back, you have some pretty high expectations, I think, for themselves, and I think other people about them do too. I would consider them one of the favorites in the north and even in the section as well. So again, we knew we had a really tough test with them coming in, and the biggest thing for them is they really like to play fast and in transition and try to turn you over and speed you up, and they're really, really physical at the point of attack on defense. So being able to take care of the ball and handle that pressure and play through that was going to be a huge thing for us on the night, and we did. We did just that. I mean, I think that's probably the best we've played in a couple of years as a group with a lot of these girls back for a lot of time in the second year here. Played really, really well for the majority of the game we had. And I'll talk about, we had a three-minute spell there at the end of the half that kind of killed us a little bit. But overall, it was back and forth, and we led the majority of that first half. It was 19-17. We were up with 3.5 minutes to go before half, and they ended the run. They ended the half on a 13-1 run. We kind of reverted back to our old habits, old mistakes, you know, kind of throwing the ball over the gym a little bit. And with a team like that, they're going to capitalize on that. And they got out and ran on us, hit some shots outside, got some rhythm and got some confidence underneath them. And we let them do that. And so, again, we go into half down 30-20, just talk about the little things. But mostly we talked about, we didn't need to make a lot of adjustments, just need to take care of the ball a little bit better and value every possession we had against a team like that, because they are going to make you pay for any of those mistakes you have. And just talked about a lot of the good things we did and how we handled ourselves. And so we come back out in the second half, and at one point they did stretch the lead to about 19, but I just got a crew that's never going to give up on me, and they play hard every night. And you saw that, and the fans that were there saw that too as well, because we battled back and got it down to 8 again. With 10, 12 minutes to go, and got ourselves right back in the game with the basketball, and just never gave up at all. And even late in the game, we had chances. It's just a team like that, we give them that big of a cushion, it's just really hard to get back over that hump and try to tie that game up. But we got under 10, and I thought with the basketball, and had a chance. But overall, I mean, a really, really fun night for us. Played really well. We really saw what we're capable of, and the level of basketball we can play at, and we've grown to. And so going forward, you know, we set ourselves now to a standard where we've seen ourselves play, and we got to keep ourselves there. And there's still room for us to grow. And we play like this on a nightly basis. We're going to win a lot of games this year and scare a lot of teams, because I told the girls, I had, you know, our kind of our thing that night in the locker room was we had to make a statement. We needed to make a statement, and you know, everyone else coming in from coming off a 4-win season last year, you know, kind of thinking we have the same crew back and walking to the gym, not really maybe respecting us to the level we should be respected. And my goal was that night was just to make a statement. That I had 4 or 5 coaches text me after the game from around the conference and area and whatnot, and just say how hard we played them and tough, and, you know, things we did well and whatnot. So, again, now that's just going to be a domino effect to the rest of the teams that come in and have to play, especially at the Valley. You know, they're gonna remember that and have that in the back of their mind. And that's just going to help us going forward and put a little more pressure on teams when we show up at night to play. So really just proud of the girls and our effort, you know, and it started from the C squad all the way through. They set the tone. They played a really nice, really nice game, best game they've played of the year, and then into the JV game and varsity. I mean, it just was set. The tone was set right away at 4:45, and squad lost 28-25 with plenty of chances to win. They were up a lot of the game. Again, Brindley led us with 10. Sophie Hewitt had 8. And then the JV also, same thing. back and forth game, had plenty of leads throughout the game, and they lost 37-34. So again, one possession games right there, and yep. Again, we had the ball, free throws, things like that, with chances to win, tie, and whatnot. So again, just really proud of their effort. Brooklyn Olsen led us with 8, Aiden Bond had 6, and Claire Geese had 6. So a nice effort out of some 8th graders, freshmen and sophomores there in the first couple games. But leading us in scoring, going into some stats here, was Jalen Lee. Really nice night. Had 20 points, got to the free throw line 11 times, made 9 of them. Good. You know, so you can reward yourself, putting a lot of pressure on the defense that way. But she had 20 points and 12 rebounds, so a double-double there, three steals, 3 assists. Callie Kahn backed that up with, the best game she's probably played in her career, and that's just what we got to see out of her from a nightly basis. She was an animal on the rebounds. Underneath, she had the tough task of guarding Kerry Mulder all night. They were one of the best players in the conference. Sienna Dunnick's really good, but Kerry Mulder's a good 1B if that's the way they want to go about it. She held her to 12 points. So chasing her around all night, inside, outside, and then being able to produce like that offensively, I just thought it was her best game probably in her career. And if we see that out of a nightly basis and consistently out of her, again, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with to pair up with her cousin and our guards we got here too. She had 17 and 12 as well, and a steal. Kayla Jan had 3 points for us and 3 steals. Brandy Meyer had 4 points, 5 rebounds, and a steal. Maya Swaski had a couple triples for us, had 6 points and a rebound. Kendall Shelstead had 6 points, going 4-for-4 from the free throw line. A rebound, a couple steals, and 5 assists. So, again, got to the free throw line 25 times, made 19 of them. Mm-hmm. Again, great percentage there. We can live with that. Same way from twos, making 14 twos is huge. We just, again, missed a few open shots, and that's, again, from the three-point line. That's going to be the next building block for us, is to be able to be a little bit more consistently. If we can make 5 to 6 or 7 of those a night, along with our twos, we're going to be right in a lot of basketball games here. So, again, really fun night. Gets a really good team that has a lot of expectations, and we held our own the whole night. And if we can continue to play like that, like I said, we're going to be a force in the conference and section and scare some teams that we see.
Next week
we're this week's theme, we're at home a couple games. Next week's theme, we're on the road for two. We travel over to our neighbor, rival, however you want to look at it, the close by. It doesn't get much closer for games than that, so we travel to Dawson Tuesday night and play them for a varsity and a B squad game there. And then Thursday night we travel to McRae and take on McRae Wolverines again. Going to be a really nice test for us in the north half this mm-hmm. week with Tom, and see, hopefully we can start 1-0 with Dawson and maybe get to 2-0 on the week and have a really nice week and set ourselves up nice in the conference and section standings.
Good. Okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck on those two games. We'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Go Eagles.
Dylan Erickson on girls basketball. We'll take this break and be talking to Hank Ireland on wrestling after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Guess what's happening at the Country Butcher in Dawson? They're taking orders for oysters and Corbett hams for Christmas. Give them a call at 320-769-2238 to order your oysters and Corbett hams today. Also at the Country Butcher this week, prime sirloin steak, $10.99 a pound. Country Butcher is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1, and Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher, located in downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Lean Lumber Company in Boyd and Madison brings you this holiday message. Christmas time is a time to examine all our values and priorities as we realize the tremendous power of love so prevalent during this season. Lean Lumber Company takes this opportunity to wish one and all a very Merry Christmas.
Back here at the Coach's Show, turning our attention, as I mentioned, to wrestling. And Hank Ireland, you had a tournament you've never been to. It was a dual meet tournament with, six or seven teams, and you came out to two wins and a loss. So pretty good job. And then wrestled a very strong New London Spicer team earlier in the week. Let's hear about that one first, then we'll talk about last night.
Oh, yeah, we started off our week on Tuesday in New London Spicer, and they're a tough team, section opponent. We knew it was going to be a tough matchup, and, we didn't come out on the winning end of that one, but we learned a lot about our team at that one. We knew we weren't quite where we wanted to be as far as in shape. No, I think that was a little bit of an eye-opener and an awakener for the boys, and, yeah, it was we had some good couple practices after that, so the boys really – I think started to kick it up a little gear after that dual meet. But, yeah, some of the results there, Eli Olson won by a pinfall. Gavin Mortensen won by a pinfall. Ben Gummickson and Cam Sather won by a pin. And then our heavyweight, Carson Gareppi, he won by a pinfall as well. The final score ended up being 45 for New London Spicer and 27 for United. I talked to you and Dan after the match, and I think there was five matches we were winning in the third or late in the matches, and we lost all five of them. So we told the boys, like, that can't happen. You deep and fight through being just exhausted. But, yeah, like I said, we had some good days of practice after that, and we'll get to where we need to be as far as wrestling shape-wise. We're just early in the year long season, so we got you know what we got to work on, and the boys are definitely motivated to put the time in and get to where they need to be.
And I'm sure you've told the team a few times, and we talked about that last week, that you have a target on your back being in the state tournament the last 2 years. So,
yeah, everyone's going to be throwing their best at you, so you got to be ready to go. And we got a tough schedule this year, too, so you're going to lose a few matches, and you're going to win a few big ones, too. So you got to be ready for the ups and downs.
Okay. Then you had some elementary wrestling going on Tuesday night, too. That was fun to watch. And then the JV got a lot of matches in as well. So it was a full night of wrestling.
Very exciting. It was nice for New London Spicer and for our elementary coaches, Dusty Baker and Dusty Williamson and Chad Listville, to set that up. And I think the kids really enjoyed that. We're going to try to do something like that again next year, whether it's with NLS or with whoever, but get that over in one of our United schools and really try to build the sport. That's what we're trying to do on Tuesday with New London Spicer, and I think the kids enjoyed it. The elementary kids wrestled the same time as the JV, and a lot of good matches, and just get those boys used to wrestling in front of
us. Yes. Turn our attention to last night, then.
Yeah, we went out to Howard Lake, and they had a team tournament there, and there's seven teams there. A lot of good teams, a lot of ranked teams there. I think there was five or six ranked teams there. Knew there's going to be some good matches. DGF is a tough team. Holdingford is a very tough team. A lot of ranked wrestlers, too. We started off with Goodhue, and this is a back-and-forth close matchup. We started with Eli Olson, started with the pinfall in the first period. Then Nelson Velazquez kept it going and got another pinfall for us. Gavin Mortensen lost at 121, 7-1. That was a close duel. He got in on a lot of shots, couldn't quite finish them, and lost a tight one there. And Braden Jaden lost an exciting match at 127. It was 17-14. High-scoring match. It was all over. So, yeah, it was a very exciting match. Good to see Braden getting some varsity experience. Then at 133, Grayson Olson got us back going with a tech fall, 17-1. Then at 139, Tygan Long lost a tight one, 13-4. At 145, Ben Gunnickson got a major decision. 152, Cam Sather won by a pinfall. Then at 160, Bentley Bothan lost 12-4. Then at 172, Alex Perez ended up getting pinned. in the first period. And then at 189, Noah Meyer won a close match, 6-3.
Good.
And then at 215, Landon Olson lost against a ranked kid, and had heavyweight Carson Gareppi lost to another ranked kid. And we ended up losing that duel in a tight one, 32-30 over Good, and Goodhue ended up winning. So that was a tight one.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of duels that we want to see, but it's kind of the same thing, different story, you know, against New London. We'd get a lead, and then we'd kind of take our foot off the gas, and hats off to Goodhue, and they came back, and it's a good win for Goodhue, and good to see a lot of tight, close matches, too.
Right.
So then we had Medford in the next round, and I think the boys kind of were a little motivated to get that first win of the year, and we came out firing and didn't let up. Eli Olson won by a forfeit, and then Nelson Velazquez won by a pinfall. David Torgerson got his first match of the year on varsity, and he won by a tech ball, 18-3. Gavin Mortensen won by a tech ball, 21-4. Grayson Olson won by a pinfall in 1:06. Then Tygan Long fought hard against a tough wrestler and ended up getting tech balled, so saved a point there. Aiden Olson won by a forfeit. Ben Gummickson won by a pinfall. And then at 160, Cam Saffer won by a disqualification, I guess. It was the first period, and the kid had some blood time, and I guess the kid didn't have a mouth guard in, and if you have braces, you have to have a mouth guard, and he didn't have a mouth guard. The ref didn't notice it until the second period, then he had to get disqualified. So it's just one of those beginning of the year seasons. I'm sure the kid didn't have braces until this year, and now I guess he knows he's gotta have a mouth guard if you wear braces. At 172, Bentley Boffin had a tight match. He ended up losing 7-4. And then Brian Rohde had a quick match, won by a pinfall in 40 seconds. Landon Olson won by a forfeit. And then at heavyweight, Carson Gareppi ended up getting pinned against a tough Mason DeGrood. He's all of heavyweight. He's ranked, I think, top three in state. So that was
okay.
Carson took him down right away, so it was good to see him get a takedown over the big guy. But then I think the size was a little too much for us in the end. But Team United ended up winning 58-14 over Medford. So it was a good rebound, good to get the first win of the year.
Right.
And to send us to the consolation championship of that. Of this tournament, we ended up meeting up with Painesville. I think 12 in state right now in Class A. So we knew they're going to be a tough team coming in. But then Eli Olson got us started with a 12-6 decision over a tough seventh grader. That kid is a Tyson Maher. He was a tough seventh grader, so he's going to be a one to watch out for in the future. Eli got the win.
Wrestling name in Painesville.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a few of them. They're tough. But that was good for Eli to have a six-minute match. He hasn't had one yet this year. He's been pinning everyone, but good for him to get that tough match and kind of open the lungs up a little bit.
Sure.
Then at 114, they had another Maher. He's ranked second in state, I believe, and Nelson gave him everything he wanted. Nelson Velazquez ended up losing 3-0, so that was another good match for Nelson to see him push that top kid to the limits, you know. And at 121, Gavin Mortensen won by a major decision, 17-5. And then Braden Jaden ran into a tough Roman Roberg from Painesville and ended up getting pinned in the first period. Grayson Olson had a 9-second pin for us at 133.
Wow.
That was a pretty quick one there for Grayson. Then Tygan Long ended up winning by DQ. The Painesville kid had a legal move on, and then Tygan wasn't able to continue, so that kid got disqualified. Then Ben Gummickson won by a tech fall, 17-0. Cam Sather won a major decision, 12-1 over a tough Mason Hansen from Painesville. Bentley Boffin ended up getting pinned in the second period, and then Alex Perez ended up getting pinned in the second period. Noah Meyer ran into a highly ranked Peyton Hemish, and he ended up getting pinned in the first period. And then Landon Olson won by a tech ball, 19-3, and that was enough to steal it for the win. And then at heavyweight, we forfeited. We ended up being a tie, actually, 33-33, but Team United won 7 matches, and Painesville won 6. So that was a deciding factor in that. So we got the extra bonus point, criteria point. So it's 34-33.
Okay.
Team United.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned never been there before, but gosh, you walk in the door, And including yourself, there were four other state-ranked teams, not necessarily in AA, other than Dilworth, Glenn, and Felton, but you didn't see them, but you saw them last year in the state tournament. But real good competition, that's what you need.
Yep, that's exactly what we needed. And on Monday, the ninth grade league, they went to Wilmer, and
okay.
We had a few guys go undefeated. I think Ivor Heinrich went undefeated, Aiden Olson, and Josh Cran. I think, can't remember who else Luke Dawson told me, but it was a good day, he said. Everyone had some good matches and got some good wins, and good way to start off the year for them.
Yeah, and I think they will have something on Monday next week, or coming up, too.
Monday we have the ninth grade league is in Montevideo for, we host a ninth grade league tournament, so
okay.
All the 7th, 8th, 9th graders will get some matches in the Montevideo, the TAC, TACC there.
Okay.
That'll be good for them. And then on Tuesday, the varsity goes to Wilmer, and Wilmer's a highly ranked AAA team, so
right.
That'll be another tough duel and good matchups.
Right.
They were one of our losses last year, so it'd be nice to go and avenge that one.
Right.
And then on Thursday, the varsity and JV is going to Benson, and there will be a try there, Benson and Sauk Center. So
okay.
Benson's got a few guys that are ranked. Sauk Center's got a few guys that ranked, so another two good matchups and conference opponents there.
Right.
And then on Saturday, the varsity and JV has an individual tournament in West Central, and there's some good teams there. I know BBE's there, Canby's there. It'll be a good tournament for us there individual-wise, so
yeah.
Get some good matchups. Lots of wrestling, busy week. We'll try to get the guys to the right weights and have a few practices only, not too many when you got
right.
3 days, 4 days for some of the kids, so it'll be a busy week for us.
Right. So, we can talk about the Canby or the Wilmer match and then West Central Conference West Central up in Barrett next week because you're defending champions from that, so once again you'll have a target on your back up there. So
yeah,
well, hang on when we're done here. Thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck on Tuesday and Thursday. We'll hear all about it on the Culture Show next week, Hank.
Thank you.
Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and be talking with Robin Rademacher about boys basketball after this.
Hi, Pat. Long time no see.
Hi, Maynard. Good to see you again.
Hey, are you still playing the tuba in the Swift County Concert Band?
That's a French horn, Maynard, and I'm still playing. In fact, we'll be presenting a Christmas Favorites concert on Sunday, December 8th, 2 p.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Appleton.
Hey, I love those holiday concerts. They really get everybody in the Christmas spirit. Does it cost anything to get in?
Just bring a donation for the Appleton Food Shelf, and admission is free.
Sounds good. Are you sure that's not a tuba?
No, Maynard. It's a French horn.
Christmas greetings from Livestock Systems, located right on Highway 212 in Dawson, on this day of wonderful days. From the excitement of early morning to the quiet joy of family togetherness that comes later, the staff of Livestock Systems, located right on Highway 212 in Dawson, hopes your Christmas will fulfill your family's expectations. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Jody and Randy and the rest of the gang at Livestock Systems, located right on Highway 212, Dawson.
Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports. Join Mitchell Silty and me Tuesday from Dawson Boyd High School as the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks host the Lacaparral Valley Eagles in a girls basketball Camden Conference matchup. 7:30 tip off. That's the Blackjacks and the Eagles in girls basketball Tuesday right here on Q92. Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
Charles Dickens reflected that it is good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself. Merry Christmas to children of all ages. This message comes to you from Patrick Miller at the Tri-County Insurance Agency,
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk La Caprile Valley Boys Basketball with Head Coach Robin Rademacher. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying the start of the basketball season. Looking forward to the rest of the season as well. I love high school basketball, and you got your games in this week.
We did. We got our games in. The weather cooperated. It was a little chilly to begin the week, but it sure has turned around, and the weather's pretty beautiful for this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tell us how you did this week, then, to start your season.
Well, we just opened up. It's always tough when you start the season with Thanksgiving break thrown in there for the boys anyway, and with that you lose a couple days of practice, and then we bounced right out of the gates on that Monday coming off of the Thanksgiving break, and we had Border West coming down. Border West is a combination of Wheaton, Herman Norcross, and Clinton Graceful Beardsley have combined now, and I believe this is their third year in boys' basketball that they're together. And we knew they were going to have a good team and well-coached team, and they got some nice athletes on their squad. And we had a very entertaining basketball game at home and ended up coming up just a little bit short. We ended up losing the basketball game 65-64. If you were at the game or were there watching it, you would have thought that we were down by 15, 20 points. It just seemed like we couldn't get over the hump, and our kids just kept battling back, and fouled their better shooter. Wasn't the guy we wanted to foul, but it ended up fouling him. That was our ninth foul with about 10 seconds, 11 seconds to play. He had a 1-on-1, missed it. Maybe could have called a timeout, but I chose not to with the situation. They only had 14 fouls. I felt if we call a timeout, they would have been able to foul us a couple times and take three, four seconds, and then we would have been kind of stuck with a desperation. We got it down the court, kicked it around, and ball ended up in Carson Besson's hand, and we thought he had a nice look at it and might have got deflected a little bit or not, but he let it go from our angle. It looked good, but it ended up short. And like I said, hey, I was really pleased. Our kids competed hard, gave ourselves a chance to win the basketball game.
Okay, stats on the game?
I mean, they were just about dead even. The one thing that, stood out for me was we struggled to rebound the basketball on the night. We all got out-rebounded on the night 49-27 overall, so 22. But the glaring one was the defense or offensive boards. Border West had 22 offensive rebounds to our 8, which led to them getting a lot of second, third, fourth opportunities and eventually probably putting it in. Both teams shot the ball. We actually outshot them. We had 66 shots. They're 61. We shot 38%. They were 41%. The three-point line, we were 10 of 26. They were 4 of 15. So we shot the ball pretty well from the outside. The other glaring thing is we committed some fouls in the second half. We got the line 5 times and made 4. They got the line 17 times and made 11. When you look back at that, and some of it is they got some offensive rebounds and we ended up fouling guys. And instead of giving them an easy 2, we made them go to the free throw line. I said the rebound stats stood out to us. That was a big difference in the game. Assists, we had 18 assists on our 25 field goals, so we were sharing the basketball really well. They had 17. We had 10 steals, so they're 4. And we only turned the ball over 8 times on the night, which to me, first time coming out and a lot of new kids playing, I thought we did a tremendous job handling the basketball. Mm-hmm. Some scoring on the night. We were led by Matt Arndt. He had his outside shot working, and he was able to get some baskets on that, end up with 26 points. Carson Young, first varsity experience for him. He was hurt a lot of last year, played a really nice ball game, had 13. Davis Patzer had 9. Carson Bessman, counting on a lot of things from him, just a very smart basketball player. Heady knows where to be, had 8. And Baxter Kalloff, another senior who's a little banged up right now, rolled an ankle, ended up with 8. He's kind of frustrated with his shot isn't going. He just doesn't have a lot of push off on that one ankle that he rolled earlier in the year. So hopefully as the season goes along, we don't re-roll it, do an all right job on that end. Finished up with 8, and we had Nolan Smith and Tanner Tilbury, freshman kid up playing, did not score but played some valuable minutes filling in for guys. Like I said, really pleased. Kids worked hard, and that's all I asked for.
Okay. Then Thursday, a game you heard here on Q92, you traveled over to Montevideo to take on a very good Thunderhawk team.
Well, yeah, I would say very good is an understatement. They're a very well-oiled machine, if you want to say. They got kids that can shoot the ball. They got size. They got guards. They're deep. playing in their gym. They're comfortable, and yeah, a buzzsaw. But you know, obviously, if you listen to the game or you saw it, if you watch it on live stream or if you're at the game, you know, the final score was, you know, quite a bit of difference. But I was really proud of the way our kids competed. They worked hard out there. They never hung their heads. They kept battling. You know, we'd answer and answer every one of their calls. But we just a little bit outmatched out there. But it wasn't for lack of effort. I can tell you that. Our kids really worked hard. And the final score got a little bit away toward the end there. It ended up being 107-70. So, you know, it was a track meet. It was back in stat sheets. And if you had a pencil trying to keep track of stats, it was moving pretty fast.
That's right. In my years of broadcasting, I don't think I did a basketball game like that where the scoring was fast and furious. You know, you guys really played a good second half there, scoring points.
Yeah, we got outscored by 12, and some of those came in the tail end when we emptied the benches out or whatever. But yeah, we got outscored in the second half, 57-45. By 12 points in the first half, they doubled us up 50-25. So yes, I thought we did a really nice job in that second half of answering their calls. We got some stops. We rebounded the ball a lot better. And if you like entertaining basketball, I'd say you probably like this because, you know, shot clock really didn't come into play. It was back and forth. And
that's right. That's for sure. All right. Stats on that game?
Well, yeah, it was, we ended up on the night, we shot the ball at 47%. But Montevideo shot it at 48. We were 11 of 27 from the three-point line. They were 17 of 32. Free throws, we got to the line much better on the night. We got there 21 times, made 13. They got there 22 times and made 14. So both teams shot the ball really well there. Rebounding, I was very, very pleased with our kids. We only got out-rebounded by 10, 36-26. Did a much better job on the defensive boards on the night, so I was pleased with that. We had 20 assists on the night, 4 steals. Turned the ball over a little more than the first game, but you got to credit Montevideo for that. With their length and their speed, caused us to have 19 turnovers. But overall, just very proud of the way the kids played. Scoring on the night, we were led by Davis Patzer with 21. Matt Arndt had 15. Baxter Koloff got rolling in the second half, had 14. Carson Besson again with 9. Let's see here. Tanner Tilbury had 4. Nolan Smith had a three-pointer for 3. Grant Bierke had 2. And Carson Young had 2. We got all the kids into the game all to get their first ever varsity experience. So overall, yes, it's a loss, but I'm going to say Montevideo is going to be one of those teams in 3AA that are going to be competing right to the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Patzer, you said he ended up with 21. I think he only had 3 in the first half, but he had a sit because of foul trouble, right?
Yeah, that hurt us. Yeah, he picked up his 3rd. You know, we're not a very deep bench, and Davis conditions himself to play a full game and picked up that 3rd foul probably 8 minutes to go in the first half, and that definitely set us back a little bit. But you know what? All the kids stepped up, and he cheered along in the bench, and then the second half he got his 4th foul fairly early, but he's smart enough to know pick and choose his times where to kind of attack or where not to attack, and definitely hurt us. But you know what? That's part of the game, and I thought he did a nice job of rebounding the second half and shooting the ball. You know, he was frustrated after the first game. His shots weren't falling. I thought he didn't force it as much as he did in the first game. He let the game come to him, and then he picked and choose when to attack and when to shoot from the outside.
Okay. All right. How'd B Squad and C Squad do this week?
See, on the Border West game, the C Squad won a close one, and B Squad lost, and then all 3 of us were defeated. Montevideo's got pretty nice pro. They got a nice C Squad team down there. I don't know who that coach is over there for Montevideo, that C Squad coach, but I don't know what he's doing over there. But he had a little bit of fun with it, and our kids. I think they ended up playing 3 halves just because they got a lot of numbers too, so they played 3 halves. But we lost that, and B Squad ended up losing by I think 3 or 4. Played a much better game than the first time out for our kids, so I was very proud of them.
Yeah, my son Brandon with the C Squad coach there. He's got it 6'5", 6'6", 6'3", and 6'1" for 9th graders.
that's tall guys.
Yep.
That's an asset to have in basketball.
Yep.
They wouldn't make very good second basemen, but they make.
That's right. Well, we're recording this Friday afternoon, and so I'll give the results of the Ortonville game tonight, and that's your old stomping grounds up there too, isn't it, probably?
No, that's not my stomping grounds.
No.
I graduated from Bellingham.
Oh, no, okay.
not an Ortonville guy. Okay. Younger brothers went to school there, but not me.
All right, Robin. Now what do you got coming up this week?
You know, we got an easy game on next week Thursday. We just host that team to the south of us. I don't ever like saying it too much, but yeah, we got a tough one coming up on the 12th. We're at home and we host that team just a little bit south of Lac qui Parle. Yeah. So that'll be, you know, our schedule doesn't get a lot easier. We're going to definitely be battle tested as we start the season off.
That's right. And we'll be doing that Blackjack and Eagle game on Thursday. Actually, the girls play Dawson Boyd on Tuesday, so it's Lac qui Parle Valley Dawson Boyd week this week.
There we go.
So, all right. Thanks, Robin, for your time, and best of luck this week.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Have a good week.
Yep. Robin Rademacher, head coach of the Lac qui Parle Valley boys basketball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this. And as Robin mentioned, the Eagle boys, they were in Ortonville last night, and they beat Ortonville 69-41. Leading scorers for the Lac qui Parle Valley Eagles was Davis Patzer. Davis had 22 points. He grabbed 5 rebounds, had 3 assists, and 2 steals. Baxter Culloff, 12 points, 12 rebounds for Baxter for his double-double. Matthew Arndt had 10 points and 4 rebounds. Carson Besson in 7 points, and Carson grabbed 8 rebounds. He had 8 assists and 4 steals for Carson Besson. Looked like Tanner Tilbury is a 9th grader, I believe, had 6 points and 6 boards for the Eagles. And the Eagles, as Coach Rademacher mentioned, play Dawson Boyd on Thursday, and you'll hear that basketball game here right here on Q92. We'll take a break, come back, and finish up the Coach's Show right after this.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Dwayne from Heather Floral and Gifts in Madison, Dawson, and Montevideo. It's Christmas gift-giving time. Heather has fresh holiday flowers, beautiful poinsettias in 7 different colors, and milk house candles in many Christmas scents. Other gifts include amaryllis bulbs, porch pots, Christmas wreaths, and much, much more. Check out your local Heather Floral hometown florist. So for all your gift-giving ideas and fresh floral needs, stop in or call Heather Floral and Gifts in Dawson, Madison, or Montevideo. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Come on over to Camby Saturday, December 7th and Sunday, December 8th for the annual Hometown Holidays. Shop local. Select businesses will be open at various times throughout the weekend. For a complete list of activities, check out Camby Chamber of Commerce Facebook page. Sunday, December 8th, Santa will make an appearance from 2 to 5:30 at the Camby Theater. Then the Parade of Lights, downtown Camby, 6 o'clock on Sunday, December 8th. Followed by the tree lighting and the fireworks display following the parade at Lake Sylvan. That's Camby's Hometown Holidays, sponsored by Camby Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show. Close things out here. Today, the dance team is in competition today down at Hutchinson. So best of luck to the Shadows in the High Kick and the Jazz, well underway, and everything else. We're almost trying to get in a little better shape and everything, but there'll be a lot of events this up and coming week, and then over the holidays, some holiday tournaments as well. So we'll close out the show with three situations here. I find it ironic that the colors red, white, and blue until they're flash. Another one. Doesn't expecting the unexpected mean that unexpected is actually expected? And finally, number three. The grass may be greener on the other side, but at least you don't have to mow it. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Great music for St. Leo, Porter, Ivanhoe, and Taunton on 92.1 FM Q92.
before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Oh, I'll comb in my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you. I just take time, and all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part. Of how I'll love you together, together. That's how it must be to live without you would only mean heartbreak for me. Say you love me too.